Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's Dharma Talk is entitled Buddhism Beyond Boundaries, The Practice of Being Human by Lama Tom Broadwater. Practitioners have access to an ancient body of skillful means going back to the Buddha himself. Their intent is to help us grow spiritually. The duty and responsibility of every student and teacher is to relate these practices to experience so that this ancient practice is ever new. In this talk, we will explore Tonglen, a practice that could not be more timely. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
So, good afternoon, wherever you are. My name is Tom Broadwater. I'm coming to you from the heart of the Midland in Zanesville, Ohio, about 60 miles from Columbus and the Columbus Center. I'm happy that you came by to listen to me. Your investment of time is precious, and I hope not to squander it. I will try to use brevity and make my words as meaningful as possible. If you have questions, I won't be able to answer them just because of the format of YouTube. But if you want to note them, and I'll get back with you on them later. But before I begin, I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to make a short commercial for the Columbus KTC Building Fund. As you may know, about 4 years ago, arson destroyed our center in Columbus. And today the board is excruciatingly close to raising sufficient funds to do that construction. But there remains a significant shortfall. So if you're inspired, go to Columbus KTC website and contribute to this final effort. Okay, end of commercial. In Buddhist gatherings, one of the first things we do is establish our motivation. That's what we'll do today. Sometimes we do come to things rather haphazardly, without recollecting the purpose of our activity. As a result, our efforts lack focus and we can get lost very quickly. So when we listen to a Dharma talk, we try to gain something out of it that will assist us in our lives. Our motivation is to wake up, to see things as they really are. We wake up not simply for ourselves, but for everyone. To make this sort of commitment, we ground ourselves in true and reliable refuges. Why do we do that? Well, because there will be difficult times and we need something reliable to rely on in those times. And in the case of Buddhists, we rely upon the Buddha, his teachings, and those that follow those teachings. And we recognize at the very beginning that this path is propelled by the power of discipline and the power of virtue. This initial establishment of motivation is essential to our beginning any Buddhist endeavor or activity. Those non-Buddhists who may be listening, well, you can use your own words to establish your motivation. Such words as, may I find something in this talk that will help me become a better person. So you can do something like that. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge. By the power of generosity in all six perfections, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all beings. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge. By the power of generosity and all six virtues, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all beings. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, I take refuge. By the power of generosity and all six perfections, may I attain Buddhahood for the sake of all beings. So last week I gave a talk that you can find on the Columbus KTC website under videos. The talk was on teachers and students. The idea of the talk was that teachers are critical to our spiritual journey. And it's a journey we cannot really embark on alone and without a guide. So we have and we need teachers. And we said that there are all kinds of teachers, but in any case, we have to be discerning about from whom we get teachings. Finding a teacher really is a three-part process. First, discerning that teacher and whether he is worthy or she is worthy of being our teacher. Secondly, we follow those teachings, and finally, we embark on those teachings by emulating their realization. That basically summarizes last week's talk. Today, we're moving on to another subject, beyond teacher and teaching. We're actually going to talk about a specific teaching. It's a very special teaching whose origins can be traced back to the teachings of the Buddha. This one teaching is on Tonglin and is a larger part of a group of teachings called mind training. We attribute the promulgation of these teachings in Tibet to Atisha, who lived 1,000 years ago. His legendary and perilous travels took him from India to Sumatra and then back to Tibet, all in an effort to learn and spread these teachings on mind training and Tonglin. To start out, Tonglin means giving and receiving. Those are the words in Tibet translated into English. We'll say more about them just in a minute. I'm telling you about Atisha and his travels to explain why these teachings were seen as so special. They were found and taught at great personal sacrifice. And they have come down to us very carefully from teacher to students through the ages. At one time, these teachings were considered so sacred they were not publicly taught. Instructions were generally between student and teacher very privately. And we can consider these teachings one of the greatest legacies that Tibetan lamas who are part of the Tibetan diaspora, which began in the late 50s. They're a very precious legacy. Although it's difficult to summarize all the mind trainings, all the mind teachings in one word or two words, we could say that they are trainings in love and compassion. So let's take this idea of mind training and ask, why do we need to train the mind? And then let's ask the question, why train in love and compassion? Why is that so essential to waking up? So first, why train the mind? Well, if a scientist were to get inside our mind, and someday they probably will, and listen to our mind, the question might be, what would they hear on a typical day? We could probably save them the trouble because we sort of know already what they would hear and what they would think. the scientist would hear a mind that is greatly scattered. Our thoughts would be heard going from here to there to everywhere and in between. Our thoughts can wildly move all about. So the conclusion they might draw is that our minds, and the conclusion we might draw, is that our minds need discipline to be trained in order to be productive and attend to things. Now, if those same scientists were to summarize the themes that these thoughts had, what would they notice? They would notice the themes are about me, my, and mind, and variations on those themes. So much of our internal dialogue is about what I like and what I dislike. It's, I like this, I don't like that. That's so much of our internal dialogue. These would be the observation of scientists. So we know why we do need to train our minds. So why is training in love and compassion so important in our spiritual practice? Well, to answer that question, we could go back to a talk that Lama Adam gave a couple weeks ago. He discussed the Four Noble Truths. In brief, these truths might be summarized by saying, life is characterized by suffering, and we should realize that. The second truth is that ignorance of self-clinging is the cause of our suffering, and we need to overcome it. Removing the cause of suffering leads to cessation of suffering. And there is a path to that cessation, and we need to follow it. We need to follow it if we want suffering to end. To put this in a few words, we cultivate what opposes our suffering, our basic ignorance and self-clinging, by cultivating love and compassion. So this habit of self-clinging, self-obsession, characterize our suffering, and their opposites lead to happiness. That is through selfless love and compassion, which lead to our liberation from suffering. We often talk about the COVID quarantine, which will one day end. But the quarantine self-clinging has placed us in has been beginningless and seemingly endless. So we are going to use the skillful means of mind training and the cultivation of compassion to prepare ourselves to get out of ego's painful, suffocating, endless quarantine, to breathe the pure air of liberation. Here's our predicament. Our habit of self-clinging has walled us off from each other and our environment. Whereas in reality, we're connected. And we're connected to everyone and to everything. So to dismantle these false barriers, we need a way through them. According to the Buddhist teachings and logic, radical love and compassion is a way to become open to our fellow beings and the world around us. Breaking through old habits requires courage. We have to become the bodhisattvas described in the Mahayana Buddhism, fearless warriors walking on the virtuous path of love and compassion. And we need courage to do this, because while self-clinging causes our suffering, we ignorantly hold on to what we know by force of habit. It's often what's comfortable. But when we are thinking like this, our suffering may lie hidden under the surface. However, as we know, this hidden suffering can erupt quickly and in the most unpredictable ways and in the most unpredictable circumstances. Because of this unpredictable nature of suffering, we go about our lives a little anxious. And when major suffering occurs, we lose all confidence in overcoming it. So to begin with, we have to recognize our suffering in our lives and the often horrific nature of our suffering. We are then motivated to find its causes and seek the path out of this suffering. As a good doctor makes a correct diagnosis, the Buddha prescribes the way out of suffering, and that is through wise, aware, selfless love and compassion. When seriously taken on, this training in love and compassion is a lifetime practice. It's not something that, you know, it's just not something we do one day, set it down, and pick it up days later. It's a lifetime daily practice. And it's a major, major investment. But it's the only investment that is fully worthy of our human effort. It's a wonderful thing. Why? Because it is the one thing that ensures our ultimate happiness. The basis for this love and compassion, this working basis to overcome the sickness of our ego fixation, is already within us. It's always been there. It's always been there. We do possess a vast heart of love and compassion. Buddhists call this our Buddha nature. It's also called the nature of mind itself. Kempo Karta Rinpoche has said in Dharma Pass that we all possess this. No being is without this Buddha nature, this vast mind, this heart of great compassion. It may be a little bit obscured, but that is only because of our endless habit of self-fixation. This heart is there, and we discover it by cultivating this mind of compassion. And because it is already there, we can be confident of the possibility of finding it, of discovering it. In fact, what we do in Buddhist practice is to activate this Buddha nature through imaginative practices that lead us to simulate this vast, compassionate mind. And we simulate it until we actually realize its presence within us. But it's always been there. So I've talked about mind training, about what it is, why it's important, and the necessity of cultivating compassion if we wish to be happy and have access to our goodness within. Now we're going to talk about a specific practice of mind training called Tong Lin. The beauty of Tong Lin is its simplicity. It's literally as simple as breathing in and breathing out. But to be effective, you have to do it with a certain amount of discipline, you have to be precise, and you have to do it in a competent way. You can't be sloppy. You can't be sloppy within a Dharma practice, really, can you? So Tong in Tibetan, in English, give. Lin in Tibetan, take in English. Many people have found this practice to be beneficial because it gets in touch with their own goodness. It's a practice that can develop a fearless heart that overcomes suffering and its unpredictability. In short, it's a practice tailored for this difficult time that we live in. So what do? We use our breath. We use the in-breath to take in suffering. We pause briefly, and then we use the out-breath to give comfort. So easy. In so doing, our breath becomes an expression of our own compassion, our own love, our own concern. And that's it. That's it. There are additional steps, which are part of the text on mind training. But let's keep it simple. I think it serves our purposes well today just to keep it that simple. And in Dharma Pass, that is exactly how Rinpoche did it. I suggest for now that we do it in a meditation posture and put our minds at ease. But I've heard of groups actually going out in public and practicing this practice with people passing by. So that's also possible. But here we're going to be on our meditation cushion or chair and do it in that way. Anyway, so going a little deeper, we use the power of imagination here. We imagine that on the in-breath, we take on suffering in the form of dark smoke or fog. We pause just for a moment, allowing that fog or smoke to dissipate into our heart of compassion. Rinpoche calls it our bodhicitta, mind of awakening. When we are using our imagination, what has up until now been obscured, we start to see. So we pause as we let that suffering we have visualized dissipate. And it dissipates in our heart. What we are doing is mirroring our breath with our visualization of taking in suffering and giving out comfort and happiness. We do this practice with a feeling of generosity and joy. Whenever you've given something to somebody they need, after you've done that, there's a feeling of joy, and in the process, you felt generosity. So in this process, we are identifying ourselves with our true nature, which is one of compassion. And we visualize this in the form of bright light. Ken Holmes, whom I've used as a reference in this talk, and he's also a student of Akin Rinpoche, likens this bright light to a bright hole. a bright hole. Scientists have found that in the universe there are dark holes from which no light escapes. Well, Ken likens this bright light in our practice to a bright hole, the opposite of a dark hole. And this bright hole emits an infinite amount of light into space. If this image helps you, use it. If it doesn't, you're welcome to discard it. This might be a good time to point out sort of a caution. We should only do short sessions of Tom Lin that are clear and crisp. That's far better than doing long sessions where your mind gets foggy and unclear. And this is sort of the instructions you would give anyone who's doing a meditation practice, to at least begin by doing it in short sessions. So who do we start in taking in suffering and giving out comfort? Who do we start with? We can start with ourselves. So to begin, choose something from your own life, that's troublesome. You don't want to take on something horribly traumatic at this stage. That would come in a later stage. Take something smaller that's more of an irritation to you, but nonetheless something that is causing you some suffering. And it also should be something now that you find that you might be able to work with. I'll give you a set of instructions, after which we will spend a few minutes in the exercise. So here are the instructions. First, draw attention to your breath. Take a little time in doing that. As you do this, imagine that your suffering, whatever it is dark smoke or fog, and that's it's in front of you. Draw the fog or the smoke into your heart. And when it comes there, you think that this smoke or fog cannot survive because the bright light of your vast, compassionate heart dissipates it. There is absolutely no need to fear because you have this heart. So bring it in, pause, let it dissipate, and then exhale. Think that you are breathing into the situation healing and help in the form of bright light. More importantly, think that you are breathing into the situation wisdom to deal with it and to deal with its causes. Keep this visualization very simple. Don't try to complicate it. Just breathe it in as smoke. Allow it to dissipate and then breathe it out, and continuously do this in a circular manner. So we'll do this just for a few minutes, and I'll gong the beginning and I'll gong the end. Now for a moment, just rest in open awareness. We're going to do a second session. And we're going in this session from the specific to the more general, from us specifically to others who have problems like we just brought to our attention. And then we'll go beyond to all beings everywhere. If you think about it, you recognize you are not the only one who suffers from this particular difficulty that you just did the exercise with. Many others suffer in a similar way, and in some cases, far worse. You may say, if only I could take in their suffering. If only through my suffering, they didn't have to suffer. So we imaginatively take on their suffering along with our own in this practice. We need to be sincere, even in our imagination. We have to be sincere. And our motivation is clear. We breathe it in, this suffering, because of our great heart of compassion. We have this, it's in us. And we have no fear of taking it in because we have this heart. In fact, that difficulty that they have dissipates quite easily within this great heart of compassion. When breathing out, we breathe out the bright light that helps, heals, and sends wisdom to end the causes of that problem. Finally, if you think about it, and we know from the Four Noble Truths, as a result of knowing the Four Noble Truths, that all beings suffer. So in this section, we recall this truth, that all beings suffer, and that no one escapes from suffering. So in this third part of the meditation, we take as our focus other beings. We take the focus off of ourselves and place it more squarely, more clearly on others. So the meditation will have three parts. We first of all will again take on our own suffering in the first part, breathing in and breathing out. The next part is we will take on not only our own suffering, but the suffering of those who have similar problems to our own. And then finally, in the third part, we will take on the suffering of all beings. So it's a three-part. And to help us with that, I'll gong the gong each time we change our emphasis. And again, it's really important to recognize we can do this with full confidence and without any fear. We're up to this task. So if we could begin now. Start with our own difficulty, our own suffering. Breathing in and breathing out. Now put your attention not only on your difficulty, but those who might have difficulties similar to your own. Now bring into your compassionate heart the suffering of all beings, and breathing out your love and your compassion for those suffering beings that include yourself, of course. Now rest your mind and your body in open awareness. Okay, actually, I am able to read a couple of questions. One Justin Fitch asked, which is, should we try to feel the suffering of this that the smoke represents, like feel bad? Well, you are drawing in suffering, aren't you? You are drawing that in. But there is not the sense of being overpowered by it, that you have a heart that can take it in. So it's a little tricky. There is a sense of that the suffering that is coming to you, but there's also the strong feeling, notion that I can overcome it through wisdom. So it's a little tricky, but yes, you do feel it. Otherwise, there would be no reason to have, you wouldn't be compassionate. But it's just having felt it, you're not overcome by it. And we could go into reasons for that. That would be almost a separate thought, other than to say you have a compassionate heart that can deal with it. Tom has a question. Would you recommend doing Tonglin when reliving the past and having hard feelings towards someone who caused you suffering? I can't get to the rest of the question. Yes. Yes, I think you can do that. In fact, it's very helpful. It's not like you're going to resolve the issue right off the bat, but it's going to, yes, I certainly do recommend that. But if it's a real traumatic experience to you and you're not real familiar with Tonglin, it might not be the first thing you attempt to do, Tom. It might be something later on down the road you would do. So, the question is often asked is, does Tonglin help other people? And I'd have to say, without any question in my mind, that yes, it does. Yes, it does. But maybe not right off the bat. But if we're diligent and competent in this practice, over time, our minds are going to be transformed with love and compassion. And whenever you meet someone with love and compassion, even a little bit more than they had before, you're going to be better off for it. So other people are going to be better off for your practice of love and compassion in Tonglen. Now, will that particular person be changed? Well, I don't know. They may, depending upon the power of your meditation. I'll give you a quick story along those lines. When I worked at an agency, there was a particular person that wanted the job I got, and they did not like me. And I had a great deal of difficulty with them. And it just so happened that at the same time, this is when Lama Kathy introduced me to Tonglen. And as a result, I did this for a number of months. Now, I cannot say that she or he changed as a result of my work. However, I felt a lot better and I was able to work with it a lot better. So the practice of Tonglen is an extremely versatile practice and can be tailored to all kinds of situations. Say you were irritated by a coworker, as I was, or a partner, use Tonglen. Seeing your irritation as a dark smoke and see people in similar predicaments and add their irritation to that dark smoke. Then bring that into your heart where you visualize it dissipating and then you breathe out this bright light of love and compassion. It can add emphasis to your practice if you say, I join this moment of irritation with all those who are similarly afflicted. If my working through this moment of irritation in a wise manner, if I can do that, may it bring about not only my own awakening, but those of all who have a similar problem. So you can do this with or without the words. I sometimes use the words, sometimes I don't, particularly if I'm really irritated. I can't think so much. I just have to use the visualization in my thought of taking in and giving out compassion. What is happening here is what we may still feel an emotional state of irritation. That may not change, but we're developing a different relationship to it. We have inserted a technique that will put us in a position to work with the irritation rather than feeding on it. And it can happen like that. You're angry, you're irritated, and all of a sudden you recognize this anger. You recognize it. You recognize it for what it is. And in this case, it's dark smoke. You take it in and you give out compassion. It immediately changes your relationship to an afflictive emotion. And you're not going to blindly feed on it. So I hope you're seeing the usefulness of this practice of Tonglen in your life. My practice suggestion is that you begin with less intense situations and then work up to more difficult ones. I think Sue Erlewine has a question and she's welcome to ask it if she would like. And while she does that, I'll continue. So today, sort of like to bring it to a close here, today we talked about mind training and why our wild, distracted minds need training. We've talked about compassion and the need for it. And more importantly, we've learned and practiced Tonglen, a practice of compassion. So I'd like to in this section by reciting or telling you what Karmapa has said about compassion. It's beautiful. He said, "Compassion is deeper than sympathy and more strongly felt. With compassion, you don't experience the other person as a separate object over there, away from you. Rather, you have the wish or the feeling that you have become the other person. Compassion has a sense of coming out of from where we are and going over to the position of the other. It brings us out of our own space, our own position, and into the other. Compassion is not staying on her own space and looking down at suffering and calling that compassion." So many are suffering today in this country and around the globe. The sheer horror of that suffering has never been more manifest. The brutality of our time seems ever increasing. Racism, which has always been present, is now showing its bloody hands in full view. What are we to do? Where are we to start? We become fearless bodhisattvas, fearless and brave in pursuit of love and compassion. When we see the major and the minor horrors of suffering in this world, we do not avert our eyes, nor do we fall back on tired old words and concepts to distance ourselves from that horror. We bring this present suffering into ourselves like dark fog or smoke, and we transform it with the bright light that shines outwardly in solidarity with our fellow humans. When we see racism in others and in ourselves, we don't avert our eyes. We bring this horror into our hearts like dark smoke, and we allow the alchemy of a brave, fearless, compassionate heart to change this horror into a bright light that transforms us and the hearts of even the most hardened racists. We are doing Group Tonglin. We are doing Global Tonglin. Right now, we are where we are. Our present circumstances are not changeable. As individuals, as a nation, as a world, we can only work for this in this moment and move forward from this moment, moment by moment by moment, with a compassionate awareness. And we are working against the power of habit, of privilege and comfort. And the only way to change these harmful habits is with the stronger, braver habit of an aware, compassionate heart. A daily practice of Tonglen can assist. I want to thank you for your attention. I appreciate the fact that you have stopped by, and I hope that you can carry away something here that will be helpful to you. And so, as with all Buddhist practice, we end with a prayer of dedication. From the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death, from this ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. Again, thank you for stopping by. Hope to see you again. And one day, may we all be joined together at the new center in Columbus. Thank you, and have a great week, guys.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.